Bless the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for another day, Lord. In our hearts desire, Father, to come to fellowship so we can. In our hearts, O Lord, desire to worship you. So we did just that, Father. And let our heart, O Father, Lord, desire as much as we within us, O Lord, being compelled and stirred up by thy Spirit to listen to thy word, to hear what the Spirit has to say for us in this hour. So we do now sit down, Father, at thy feet to hear from you, Father. Therefore, Father, anoint the speaking of thy word and hearing of thee, Father. That, Lord, we may be strengthened, Lord, in this hour concerning the life of a child of God, concerning our life, how we walk before you and with you. So, Father, Lord, take down the word now, this time, and break it down. Like you break the loaf to thy disciple on the shore of Galilee. So we thank you now, Father, asking for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Now we just continue again as we left off. We're in the book of James. The book of James, chapter 1. We are now on the third part. Chapter 1 is divided into three parts, verse 1 to 11, 12 to 18, and now from 19 to the rest of this chapter, verse 27, is the third part. Alright. Now, last week we have in the verse 12 onward, James touched upon the enduring temptation. And I said this, I want to make sure you understand that in verse 12, blessed is the man that endure temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. It is not because you endure, therefore you receive. It is because you already been promised, and because it was promised to you, and when God has to prove your faith. And that which was promised to Abraham was already promised to him. But God has to prove his faith. And God knows that when you are the child of God and you are born again, you are already promised eternal life. Not because you chose him, but he chose you. And because he chose you and he given you this crown of life, and you have seen the revelation of his salvation in Christ Jesus, therefore, he wants to prove that you are worth his choosing. You understand? Don't think because you endure, therefore you are entitled to it. No. You are already entitled to it because he gave it to you. Not because you have done anything good to begin with. And therefore, because you endure, therefore you are blessed. What is the word blessed? What does the word blessed mean? Huh? You are blessed. What does it mean? It means you are fortunate. Good things come on you. Well, goodness. So people don't realize that how blessed it is when, as James said, when you endure temptation, whatever comes your way. It's because God wants you to see his hand upon you. If it wasn't for God testing Abraham, and then I guess that Abraham doesn't know what life is all about. He would be just sitting down waiting for the promised son. But the testing causes him to be strong. And he becomes blessed when he had Isaac, when he had the son that was promised to him. And then in verse 13, we just want to recap a little bit again that it says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. So, don't say that when you are tempted, you are tempted of God. No. God never tempt any man. Alright? God will put you on a trial. So when the word temptation, the word tempted is used, so lots of meaning, as I said last week, a lot of difference. There is a trials, there is a temptation. Temptation comes from the devil. Trials, God will allow it to be on you, to test you. See? And even in verse 14 it says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So temptation don't come from God. Temptation starts within the heart when the spirit out in this world has always been. I mean, the spirit out in the world because Satan is the god of this evil world. And he has legions of angels under his command. And all these angels will work for him and will try to get you tempted to put in a situation to sin against the Lord. So when you are, you know, when the mind is not, as Paul said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of mind. This is the battlefield up here in the head, inside here. In the mind. It's not in the heart, it's in the mind. It's the battlefield. You know. And it's always, when you always talk about that, I always remember what Brother Branham said about the Red Indian Chief. When the Red Indian Chief became a Christian, he came out to Brother Branham one day when Brother Branham met him and said, how are you doing? He said, I'm fine, but there's already this trouble within me. He says, what's that? So, oh, you know, in my head here is the black dog and the white dog fighting each other. And Brother Branham just, I guess, smiled about it and said, who wins then? You know, and the Indian Chief said, if I feed the black dog, the black dog wins. If I feed the white dog wins, you know. And that's what Paul talked about, the nature. When you are born into this world sinful, born in sin, you only have this black dog within you. Right? So whatever you do, there's no problem. There's no struggle. You want to do the bad thing, you go ahead and do it, there's no trouble. There's no conscience. There's nothing. But once you are born again with the Spirit of God, now you have the white dog fighting the black dog to try to overcome, you know, against all that which you know are sinful. Because once you are born again, the Spirit of the Lord is there to help you understand. Keep away from all things evil. So when a man's mind is not, and remember this is talking about James talking to Christians, not to sinners. You know, so when you do not have your mind transformed, and now some people don't realize, how are you being transformed? You can only be transformed by the Word of God. You are not transformed by anything else. That's why without the Word of God, without the understanding of the Word of God, then you cannot be transformed. Do you understand this sort of thing? Is it so? When you sit there and then you are tempted, you know, so okay, I want to do this thing, you know, maybe I go to the casino, maybe I go in to the Toto booth or whatever, you know, just because you covet. And I think this year's Toto here in Singapore is 12 million. Is it 12 million? Something like that. I was, you know, so that's a lot of money, huh? In America it was 1.2 million, it's a billion. So here is 12 million. I think that's a lot. And I won't be surprised on. The queue, just go and see the queue, a whole lot of long queue, and the foreigner, the foreign workers, the Filipino, the Bangladeshi, you know, the Indian, all the foreign workers, they wanted to strike rich after all, they came here to work, you know, not much, and so they hopefully that by the maybe $5, $10, maybe they hope to strike it rich and bring home the money. So if you are covetous that you think that, well, I want a share of the 12 million, you know, so you're tempted to play. But you see, the thing is that the Spirit will be speaking to you. But if you ignore that, and you think, well, it's okay, well, you know, everybody's playing, so it's $5. If I win, I'm happy. If I don't win, it's okay. If I win, I can give it to the Lord more money. Do you think, like someone who is in the Philippines hunting for gold, think that God needs the gold for the ministry now. God needs nothing except you. You understand that? You are the instruments. I am an instrument that God used to propagate the gospel. God don't use money to propagate the gospel. People say, oh, without money, how can we propagate the gospel? We look at the disciples. Jesus sent them out. Said, don't carry with you money bag. But people don't believe in that. You see, so this is the thing about it. And so when a person in verse 15, when Lazarus have conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it brings forth death. And that's perhaps the case of this email that we read earlier on. You see, and even in Christianity, that is true. In Christian people who are Christian, sometimes they got this hatred. And they will start to say things that are not right. And they continue in it. You know, they dislike a person, a brother or a sister. And you know, you can eat into the person. And I said last week that if you have offended a brother or a sister, you need to go to the brother or the sister and say, I'm sorry. You know, thing doesn't go away. If you don't apologize, it still remains. Sin still remains there. You understand? That's why Jesus said, if you have done, committed a brother, a sin against an offense against a brother, you don't bring your altar to God. You don't bring your gift to God at the altar. You don't. God said, you leave it there, you go and make it right, then you come back and offer your offering to me. So we say, oh Lord, we love you, we praise you, all this. You can do it for years when you know that you have committed a sin against a brother or sisters, and you think that God doesn't know. You think God hears your prayer? He hears your prayer, but He's not going to answer. You see, you need to get right with the brother. You see, because we are the body of Christ. We may have disagreement, we may parley with each other over doctrine or over anything, but we still must love one another. We may have differences, but we still must love one another. You know. So otherwise you conceive in sin, and you know that's bad. And of course, verse 16, do not err, my beloved brother. Every good gift comes from God, every perfect gift is from above, and come from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creation. God is light. Light is always there. When light shines, there is no shadow. Light is light. There is no shadow in light, in the light. You know. And there is no changing. God's light is always there, straight, perfect. You don't, the light cannot be changed. When we say the color of a light, light has seven colors. You cannot add another color to it. There's no such a thing. Alright? So now we go to the verse 19. Alright. Verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of God worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engraved word, which is able to save your soul. What's the question you may ask? Does God ask us to be good? A good question. And now this is James talking. Okay, now I'm asking you as Christian. Okay. Does God ask you to be good? Because you're able to be good? Think about it. Does God ask us to be good? Because we are able to be good. Now that is the reason why then I don't agree with some of these preachers that write something which is ridiculous. He said, men are born to be good. Men are born good. Men are born to do good. I'm not talking about Adam. I'm talking about after the fall. Are we all born good? No. The Bible says we are all born sinner. We came to the world speaking lies. Then there's nothing good in the flesh. So we are not born good, we are born bad. Because you are all sinners. How can sinner be good? How can sinner be good if sinners are bad? You know. And I the man who wrote the article, when I read it, says, what's wrong with this guy? He said, look around us. There are more good people. People are doing more good than the few that do the bad things. Is it really true? It looks, it's true because, but is it because you're all born good? No. The reason why people behave, majority behave good, is because of society. Is it not true? If you will have an area of, well, look at the world problem today. The ISIS group. You have the Al-Qaeda group. You have the one over in the Philippines. What is that group? Abu Sayyaf. Abu Sayyaf. Now when you get this group of people living in a certain area, they behave in their own way because they have their rules and their code of how they believe, right? So now if you are not with them, you happen to venture into their territories, what will happen to you? What will happen to you? Would that be good to you? They will be a good among themselves. But would that be good to you? Your head will come off first. That's a fact. Isn't that right? Yeah. People are good because within the society, here in Singapore, we have our own society here. How do we have the government put up certain laws? So we behave. There are still some of those that like the cigarette, just throw it anywhere. Huh? Drink a can of a Coke and just leave it on the bench. Isn't that so? But if every one of us in Singapore were to do that, anyone who do this as a citizen, we have the right, you know, to arrest them, call the police. If this is being allowed to do it, everybody will behave. You will not see a can on the bench. Look at Japan. The Edo period in Japan have changed the people in Japan. In the city of Tokyo, when I was there, I saw it on the pavement, the sign, no smoking while walking. And true enough, you don't see them, nobody smoking while walking. And you don't even see a trash can on the road, along the pavement. Because I was just sucking my, you know, menthol. Looking for one, so this, I realized, they will not find one there. So just keep in the pocket and bring it back to the hotel. You see? So the society and to change people. They influence the tradition, the setting. So don't tell me that, look, the people are good, more good people than the bad people. It is the law and the regular society that change you, that keep you behaving, cause you to behave the way you behave. Yeah, go to India. Brother Prachi is here, brother, sister is out here. You know how India, how people, you know, how they, in the train, how they push and in the train, what they do, man. They do, because this is their way of life. See? Well, when I remember Brother Ben Howard came to Singapore the first time and then fellowship in the home, when we have it in Brother Jimmy's home. They came into the room and said, take out your shoes. Take out my shoe? He said, yeah, we don't wear shoes in the home. Oh, really? So he felt kind of funny without shoes on. And then he said, when he preached there, he must make a comment. He said, first time I would preach without wearing a shoe. So you see, our society governs the behavior.
Huh.
All right, here now, so look at Mark chapter 10 and verse 18. Jesus said unto him, why call me good? There is none good but one, that is God. So now you have this. Then Romans 3, verse 12. Romans chapter 3, verse 12. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understand. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They all together become unprofitable. There is none that do good. No, not one. Don't tell me you're doing very good, huh? You are a great guy. You give a lot to charity. So what? You don't make nothing to God. You understand?
Yeah.
Now the reason, because He loves us. And you know why? It changes our life. And you find this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Not because we love Him, but He loved us first. And because He gave His Son for the propitiation for our sin, He gave us deliverance. Now once we are delivered, when we are delivered, what happened? There is this liberty, this freedom, this joy, knowing that now we are free from sin, because someone paid for it, and we are very grateful, we thank God, and we love Him in return. Now, that's why every good gift comes from God. And the best of all gifts that God could ever give to mankind is His only begotten Son. When He gave Jesus Christ for the propitiation for sin, it cost Him, well, a whole lot of cost Him everything that is God to give it to you. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the monogene, is that word that came from the very heart and spirit of God to you and me. Huh? So much, how much He loved us. So if we cannot return that love to Him, then, I mean, we never have really experienced God. And so when we experience the birth, we return that love. Huh? You understand? Unselfish. We should just return it to Him. So, when we come to church, why did you come to church? You know, when you want to come to church, do it. When you want to sing praises to the Lord, sing. If you are in the toilet showering and you feel like singing, sing. When you are in the room and you feel the pool of God, you feel the dancing, just dance. I don't know how many of you have done that. I did that many times, and my wife said, don't sing too loud. You know, neighbors hearing you, thinking that, well, that's funny. You know, you just bang the table, boom, 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 and just sing. Rejoice. You know. So you see, the thing is that when you feel the pull of God, because God is real, God just wants you to worship Him, to be with Him, to have a relationship with Him. That's how it should be. Now, verse 19 says here, my beloved brethren. Now he's addressing the believer. Okay. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to love. Swift to hear. That's pretty good. Swift to hear, not slow to hear. Swift, be quickly learning. Hear what a person has to say. What a brother has to say, what a sister has to say, what a person has to say. Alright? So, the next one is a slow to speak, slow to love. Slow to speak. Now, this is, I think, a very good advice that James, as I said in this book of James, there's no doctrine, actually. It's just more like giving some real gems and nuggets regarding the conversation of our life as a Christian. Sweet to hear. You know, one of the worst things that can ever happen to a believer is when you sit down to hear a sermon, a message. This is Sunday. This is the day of the Lord. We come to church. When we come to church, there are always three activities. The fellowship, the worship, and the hearing of the word. Now, it is very common that some of us, when we come to fellowship, we just, you know, just relax. You know, never get to know each other, relax. Now, when we come to worship, we just sing, you know. Not because we really want to sing to the Lord, we just sing because the song leader says, sing this song, we sing this song. And I think that's very true. Let us sing this song. I'll sing, let me just sing. And there is no real worship. Or maybe our mind is somewhere else. Jesus loves me, this I know. But in your mind you love char kway teow, love noodle. Maybe the song in your mind is flying off somewhere. Right? That's very true, you know. I feel the pool. What is that pool in you? Durian. No, your mind starts to work. Many people are like that. You don't have that reality of worship. I mean, you think about whether that's true about yourself or not. You know, oh, when it comes to the word of God to hear, that's the same sermon I heard before, you know, and then your mind got drifted somewhere else. Drifted about us. Oh man, there's so much order, so many order coming in, huh, brother? What am I going to do, man? How am I going to finish this? You see. Chinese New Year coming. What am I going to cook for my family? How much money must I give this ampao to who? Maybe it's all going in your head. You see, that is the problem. But here, it's human. But here, James is saying, be swift to hear. Pay attention to hearing. Now, when slow to speak, many times when you have disagreement, you always have one the upper hand. You know, that's what I always put away. When I try to help people they don't want, I put away. Let them go and got their own problem. When people have problems, like I said, so many of them accuse me of this and that, I preach this and that, I call myself this and that. These are all nonsense. But people hear that from somebody else and pass it down and try to get them to see the truth. Many of them do not want to hear. They are not swift to hear the truth. They want to quickly speak as it is. Brother James Verumon have found that out for himself, Brother Andrew Peary, Brother Nice too, even Brother Olson, and he was on the ministry over in the Philippines when he heard it from overseas concerning me. And they have to defend me in a way that they translate, that's not true, bro. But there are some people that do not want to. They say, no, but this is what he did. No, this is not with us. He doesn't believe Brother Branham is preaching his own talk, and so on and so forth and so on and so forth. Well, what can you do? You can't do anything. But that sort of a quick to speak will be quick to wrath. The Bible says be slow to wrath. You know what is wrath? Anger. Ephesians 4. Let's go to what says. Wrath is it's terrifying. Judgment. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Be angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You can be angry, but sin not. Yeah? Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Anger. Anger usually sometimes it led to hatred. Now, there is one thing you can be sure that when you get angry, you do not sin. And that is when you get angry at sin. Huh? But when you are upset with a brother or a sister, or you quarrel with your husband or your wife, or your children, or your father, your parents, your mother, and from morning to night, you are just in your head. You get upset. Oh, like this email that we read. Huh? You know, in the world today we live in, it's so sad. People are all materialistic minded. You saw in the paper even recently, even how that the property, you know, how simply fighting over the property, over the money. And it's always a pain. I don't understand. These are not poor people. They are people who are working there. They have a good job. And yet they will fight for the property of a few million among their own brother and sister over what share that they should have and so on and so forth. Why? And very few people, few parents have common sense. And there was one many years ago, an elderly lady who had a lot of wealth. And he put his will that upon her death, it will go to charity. Surprising. When this news was brought out, and it was reported in the news media, I asked, why did you give all this up to your own children? He said, no. They all have hands and legs. They can work. But a lot of these people out there, the handicapped, you know, so they couldn't find a proper job. So that's wise parent, wise mother. After all, the children all can work. They have a good job. So why give all this money to them? They can survive. The organization, charitable organization, they need money to run for those who are handicapped, those who are blind and deaf. You see. So, the hatred, this wrath, if we do not, as Paul said, don't let the sun go down. Get rid of that wrath. Get rid of that anger. 1 Corinthians 15 and 33. Do not be deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Now that's interesting. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners. Now, let me say this very frankly. We are living in a society, the world's getting more wicked, more evil. Because the way that people behave. Because the people, oh, there's this technology. You know, people are using all this modern technology. And knowledge now is easily accessible because of the internet. Right? Yeah. Everything has its good and its and bad. Okay? Some people say the gun is bad. Is it true? Huh? There were those that I remember criticized Brother Branham for killing a moose, deer. Huh? And then frame it up on the wall. Huh? You know? He said, that's terrible. You know, sport is a game. You know, if you kill the animal for food, kill those animals for food, only the head, you know, people don't usually eat the head, so they just taxidermize, you know, maybe, I don't know. And fix it up the head. That's about it. But you don't go around shooting a deer and then let it rot. Shooting a pig and let it rot. You know what I'm saying? And that's not what it is. That's why God, the government and national reserve, they do have control. Now, for people to say all kinds of things without thinking, there must be something wrong. What makes a person criticize Prabhupada for that? I was just wondering. Because he must have mixed up with the wrong people who are anti-Branham. Now he said, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manner. What's evil communication? In today's society, has a whole lot of new words in dictionary. Huh? And if you go back to my era in the 60s, you know, maybe I can use it here. I mean, not saying that people say, oh, this is a church, you cannot say those words. Asshole. You heard about the word asshole? People just feel very good about it. It's an ass. It's an ass. Where did the word come from? It wasn't back in the 60s. We don't hear that in the 60s. But now the F word has become more frequent. The four letter words become very frequent. But there are a lot of four letter words that people speak. As if it's nothing. The S word. Four letter word, S word. It says it's so common. What is the S word? Because he said it here too. Shit. Little problem. Shit. What is this going around? Like this. What, you put it everywhere in your home? You know, where do we get all this? How did this communication, where do we get that? That's why, you know, you should teach your children, don't go and copy all these words. If you get angry, you know, when I get angry, you know what I said? Shoot! Shot! You know, as far as the words not so easily spoken. Ah! Most of people say, ah! You know. Or you get up there, punch the wall. But you know, the word always we hear outside is because of communication. Whether it be in the national service, whether it be your colleague in the office, it's so commonly spoken that it gets into our this here and then we just say it. Very commonly already, you know, like drinking water. We say those words, we just say drinking water. And you know, it's terrible words that we used it so common. And we don't realize that it becomes a curse. You know what I mean? When you have did something wrong, if you, for example, if you were to nail a nail into something, and you nail and then you hit your thumb, what would you say? Shit. Ah, shit. What is this? You say, ah! That's what we were saying. Release your pressure. But not all that would... You know, so that's what is a evil communication. The whole world is evil. The word that they spoke out there many times, oh man, you hear this so often. And you know some of the vulgarity that is locally, the local word, not the English word, the local word, the Hokkien word. Huh? I can tell you, it's, you hear them when you're walking to somebody on the phone, you curse the person, his mother and father and don't know what else. The vulgarity is very, very terrible to hear. Why did he get so upset to use those? Because of communication around about people. And people who are evil will always talk like this. So that's why I say evil communication. Birds of the same feather will flock together. Huh? It's important to choose your friend. Joshua, you understand? Yes. Yeah, yeah. And I told my son, my wife told my son too when he goes to school, you choose your friend. Because in school you have all kinds of characters. Those are vulgar, those are bad. Who you want to be friend with? Right? Look? Yes. It's important. And I don't forget. See, we all have to. So, and then he says in verse 34, awake to righteousness and sin not. Now, what is this awake? Now, it's interesting. When I was studying, looking at it, then it brings me back to Genesis chapter 6, where Noah, after he had drunk of the wine, and Ham saw his nakedness, meaning to say, of course, having incest with the mother, the Bible said Noah woke from his wine. Now, as you know, the denomination said that when Noah woke up from his wine, after he was drunk, he woke up, he knew, the Bible said, he knew what Ham did. Right? But people will read it that way. But the word awake here, in this word here, is the same as usage in Genesis. Though it is a Hebrew, in the Greek word, it has the same expression in Hebrew. The word awake in Greek is agnaipho. Agnaipho means to be sober, to watch, abstain from wine. Now it says be sober, watch. So that's why when Noah, when he went for wine, he did not immediately say, oh, I know what Ham had done. No. When Noah woke up from his wine, everything just was normal. But as day passed, he observed his son. He observed the wife. How come he got a little big in the tummy? You know. So then after the child was born, then he realized, by looking at the son, the child, then he called for the family. He realized that something happened the day when he was drunk. And he was naked in his tent. In his watching and observing, he realized that Ham was the only one that had come, could have done that. So that's why the Bible said, Noah woke from his wine. It means to say that he abstained from his wine, he was watching, observing, and being sober. And from that time, he kept away from wine. So the Bible says, awake to righteousness. Be sober. Watched. Be prayerful. Abstain from anything that causes you to be in a drunken state. And sin not. There's so many people, when they mix with all kinds of characters, all those words that's being said, they are not watchful. They are not sober. They are not abstaining from, not using those words. No, we should. You know, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Now, there are those who have not knowledge of God. That is very true. Some Christians do not even have the knowledge of God. They can go to church. Now, I'm telling you, these people can come to church. They act like Christians. Only God knows. Only you know whether you are. Or you are just putting on the front. You know what I'm saying? Huh? You're only a Christian on Sunday. You're not a Christian on any other day. Alright. Verse 21. Okay, verse 20. Oh, it's James, sorry. Back to James. Verse 20. For the wrath of God, for the wrath of man, work not the righteousness of God. True. So we awake to righteousness. Because our wrath does not in any way show us that we are righteous in God. Wrath is a terrible thing. The anger must be controlled. Alright. So now verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive in meekness the engraved word which is able to save your soul. So now it says the word filthiness. What is filthiness? Filthiness is filthy, dirty, dirtiness. But what is dirtiness? Dirty is not dirty in your face or dirty in your hand, but the filthiness Dirtiness is anything that is bad and unclean. Right? You know, when a child falls into a floor and then his hands are dirty, you say, oh, that's just filthy. Clean it. But here the Bible is not talking about this. The Bible is talking about that which is moral. Keep away from anything that is bad, morally bad. And fruity of naughtiness. You know what is this fruity? What is the word fruity? Fruity of fluid. You know what fluid means? Like water. Super fruity means really super. Very watery. Means it's just overflowing. Just flowing here and there. Your naughtiness, your badness. The word naughtiness is your badness. You see, we are still human. The black dog that Paul talks about, Paul says, I die daily. I put myself to death. Every morning you wake up, you begin a new day. Make sure that the man, the old man, don't come out of his coffin. Because you're all a new creation. So this, James was talking about, is this, we must put aside this overflow, this naughtiness, this bad behavior, this uncleanness within us. And we see with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save our soul. Engrafted word. We're engrafted, the word of God is written in our heart. It's engraved in our heart. You understand that, don't you? Yeah. That's why we talk about the circumcision of the heart. It's not about the circumcision of the foreskin. That's why the Bible says, I will put my word in your heart. I will write my word in your heart. I will engrave. Remember when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments? He wrote it on tablet of stone, right? And if you look closely, the stone is actually engraved. It's like a chisel, you know, because God used the fire to chisel it. So now God put His word engraved into our heart. That's why King David says, the word, O Lord, Allah, hid in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Put it there, you will not, so that we will not sin against the Lord. Alright, the next one, part of the section is from verse 22 to 25. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if anyone be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he behold himself, and go his way, and straightway forget what manner of man he was. But whosoever look into the perfect law of liberty, and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I think we all know this, the hearer of the word. Be swift to hear, and say, be a doer of the word, and not just hearer only, deceiving yourself. Now, when we come to the church, we hear the word of God. Do we do it? Maybe I should ask this question. How important is the Word of God? You know, there is a saying, I don't know who's the one who coined this saying. It must have been many, many generations ago. No, I'm not quite sure. It says this. You can find it on the internet. Impression without expression leads to depression. How many of you heard this saying before? No. Impression without expression leads to depression. That is to say that impression without expression equals depression.
好，来给你说的就 ，you know, you go to a shopping mall for help, and outside the shopping mall here is a guy who is, you know, have no leg and is begging for alms. And you look at him, well, he's really a journey case that needs some help, you know. Then you're thinking in a hurry just to go, You want to give, but you just go. And then halfway as you walk now, you say, oh, I should have given him that money. Give him some money. But you didn't, so you walk past. So you may still feel the regret that you're not giving him something to help him. You know what I'm talking about, yes. And then he said, okay, maybe I will get him tomorrow. Tomorrow you come, he's no longer there. And you'll never see him again. You don't know what happened to him. So, when you have the impression about help to give, and you want to express, but you didn't express it, it leads to you having this depression of thinking. Oh, you have a friend that you never talked to him about the gospel, Jesus Christ. Every time you see him, you wanted to speak, but you never did. For whatever your reason. And then one day he passed away. And then you wonder, what happened? You know that this man has not heard the gospel. And you feel the blood is in your hand when God wants you to speak to him. It's not that we have to go to every houses and knock on houses and talk to everybody, you know? Especially when God give you, you know, the impression that this is the person I want you to share the gospel with. You see? So, impression. Oh, we can find someone. Let me ask you a question. How many of you believe that the Word of God is inspired by the Holy Spirit? You believe that, don't you? Now, I can ask every question, any Christian. They will say, amen. Yes, I believe. But when it comes right down to the Word of truth, they say, well, this is not necessary. You can be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, or in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And even now, some churches, they do give the candidate for baptism a choice. Whether they want to be baptized in, according to Matthew 28:19, or according to Acts 2:38, you have a choice. Wow. You know, God gives you two choices, you know. You can choose which one you want. You can believe God. You have a choice. It's okay if you believe that God is a Trinity. It's okay. It's still correct. That's the Father, Son, and the Ghost. If you believe that God is one, it's okay. That's still the Bible says one God. So, what are you? Huh? If the Bible is inspired of God, let's look. Give you an example. We know the Bible is inspired. Timothy, huh? Paul wrote that. Let me ask you, how important it is for the woman to stop cutting hair? The Bible says a woman must have long hair. It's important. I remember Zoe was telling me one time when she was in a secondary school. You know, the teacher asked her, says, what do you have long hair? You know, then my daughter said, the Bible teachers asked that woman should have long hair. What? That's not true. She told me that the teacher said, that's not true. I'm a Christian also. You know. And then later on she came back to Zoe. I think after a day or two, I mean, she probably asked from the church or something. He said, you know, that probably she got it from the pastor. Because it was shown 1 Corinthians 11. You remember 1 Corinthians 11? Let's go to that. ένα σιτό ζωή, that this passage of scripture talking about long hair is that in those days, yes, Paul wanted the woman Christian to have long hair because the prostitute have short hair. So what? Is it true? Kind of funny, isn't it? The prostitute has short hair? No.
It was all kinds of funny things.
If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Bible is very clear that when you look into the veiling of this woman, it says that, verse 3, I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, the head of the Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonor his head. Every woman that pray or prophesy for her, with her head uncovered, dishonor her head, for that is even all one as she was shaven. That tells us it's about hair, right? Not the head. But back in those days in America, the Presbyterian church, the woman wear hair. You ever see? The woman wear hair, even in the church, because they must have it. And in India, when a woman pray, they always pick the sari and cover their head. Because they were taught like this by traditional churches in India. You understand? Okay, that's no problem. If you want to cover with sari, the thing over your head, or you woman want to wear hair, that's not a problem. But that is not the reason that God talking about. It's about hair. How do we know? Go right now. It says, verse 14. Do not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him. If a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. For her hair is given for a covering. So now the Bible is talking about the hair is a covering. It's not a piece of cloth, it's not a head. It's your hair. And Paul said, if the woman wants to trim her hair, she must as well shave everything off. Huh? And today we see, you know, women shave their hair off for some charity work. You know, you always see those people, women, don't shave off their hair to for charity work. And want other women to shave off their hair also. Why? Why do they want to shave off their hair? Because their hair is the glory. And she's willing to sacrifice, yeah, even though her hair is short. But here is Paul is talking about Christian. Do you understand what I'm saying here? So, if we believe the Bible is inspired, every word of God written in the Bible is inspired. You cannot remove it. Now, you can tell me that this verse is not important, like the denomination is saying. That means, let me read this passage of Scripture. Paul would have read it. Paul should have read it like that. Chapter 11. Be follower of me even as I am of Christ. Now I pray you, brethren, that you remember me in all things. And keep the ordinances as I have delivered them to you. Then go right down to verse 16. If any man should be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the church of God. So the rest of it can be moved. Correct. So nobody knows anything about hair. So we can say, or Paul never said, women should have long hair or short hair. Or men have long hair or short hair. You know what I'm saying? So we remove that. Baptism. Either way you can baptize. Whether you're baptized or not. Some people say, see the thief on the cross? He never got baptized. And Jesus promised him eternal life. That project is a dying thief. And you are a living thief. Huh? Is that true? That poor chap, what does he receive? Only eternal life. We are a living Christian being here. Alive to serve God, alive to glorify God. Because we have a greater reward when we reach up there. That poor thief had none. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see? So if every word is inspired, and the Bible says, if you love me, keep my word. I wonder, you see, the Jewish people in those days, when they heard the gospel, I mean, not all Israel are Israel, but these are the ones who were gathered out there in this temple and hear this apostle, you know, in that state of speaking in tongues, and they would say, hey, I'm a Persian. This guy is a Galilean. I'm hearing them praising God in the Persian tongue. Because he lives in Persia, this Jew, he knows. Another one come down from some other nations, you know, and hear them, these apostles speaking in tongues in their language. So, then Peter began to preach. When they heard what Peter preached, they were pricking their heart. Because Jesus Christ said, this same Jesus whom you have crucified, God had made him both the Messiah. The Messiah, that is Christ, and Lord Adonai. This Yeshua that you crucified, Yahweh have made him both the Messiah and the Adonai. They were pricked to the heart and they said to Peter, what must we do to be saved? Man and brethren, what must we do to be saved? And Peter said, repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That season, they heard the word, they were obedient. They went forward to take water baptism. Do you see what is being said? False truth. It's not about, oh, that's not important, that is not important. That's why we know a lot of these Christians, I tell you, they serve God without it being God's will. And they go out there and teach. Like my friend, I don't understand why. He's so taken up with what we call, when a man dies, he sleeps. The soul sleep doctrine. That soul sleep doctrine, as he wants to put it as a doctrine, that when a man dies, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, you sleep. You are not in Hades. Okay? Suffering. Neither are you in paradise if you are a Christian, rejoicing. Both the wicked and the righteous just sleep until the day of the resurrection. They were sticking up with it and always talks about it more. And yet when it comes to water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, they said that is not important. That's a doer. A hearer and a doer of the word. When you talk about soul sleep, it has nothing to do with work. Right? I know you believe or don't believe, that's it. You see? So what does the Bible say? Be you not only just a hearer, but a doer of the word. So we do what is required of us to do, we do it. You see? So don't take away the word of God just because you find it hard to keep. And if the church find hard to preach for the woman to keep long hair, they find hard to preach because the woman run away. Tell the woman how to dress right? No. They say what? What about Deuteronomy, the Moses wrote? That a man who wears the garment of a woman is an abomination to God. A woman who wears the garment of a man is an abomination to God. Oh, that's the Old Testament. That's Old Testament. When God created a woman, he's a woman all the time. In the New Old Testament, the woman who is a woman is a woman. The woman in the New Testament is still a woman in the New Testament. Still woman. It doesn't change. But today, no. Today now woman is even loosed. That day I was just sitting in the MRT on Friday coming back from the airport after sending Zoida. I came in taking the train, sat there. There came in the next few stations. A Chinese woman wearing a real tuck. Now I was surprised that when I went yesterday to collect my Friday anyway, I went to collect my glasses and I went to this Uniqlo. Uniqlo, huh? You know Uniqlo, that Japanese store? Because I was just killing time waiting, you know, for Zoe to wake up so that I could go. She won't take a rest before she goes to the airport. So I was looking at just the department selling. And when I went in, it was a woman's section. So, oh my, look at the mannequin. Many of them have this, now it's supposed to be the in thing. They're tight. You know that, it's not a jean. It's very soft cloth that hugs the whole leg. You call it leotard. I believe it's a proper word to use. They call it wrap. A wrap around your leg. Huh? And the woman she was standing there with that leotard, very hugging. And there was a man beside me looking at me, and okay, he feel embarrassed, me too feel embarrassed. If she lift up the hand and hold the bar, that brows would come up and you could see her crouch and everything. I mean, what is that morality? I mean, after all, is that right for... You know, the leotard they wear is just like a long john. You know what a long john is? People wear long john in winter. In cold country, when I went to Japan, I have to take a long john. Because you hugs the leg and then you wear trousers on the outside. But now when a woman are wearing that kind of long john, tight long john with leotard, there's no shame. They're hugging their back, hugging your figure. I don't know. If the world goes on for another 20 years, you may be seeing a woman walking down the street with in bikini. It's common. Or maybe really so tight. Everything is tight. You can see the shape like you see some fantasy movie or an anime. Yes? Like what you see like a Spider-Man. The kind of, you know, skin-tight clothing. Is this right? If a woman today, a Christian woman can wear men's clothing, there is no stopping a Christian woman in the future to wear leotard or skin-hugging clothes to go to church or anywhere. That's no shame at all. And even we have seen some Christians putting on those earrings and all over the years, even nose ring and all that, and go to church. America have let down the bar. And so America being judged. And if the church and the pastor does not hold the reign of the word of God rightly, that church is going to be judged. You know? Scary. Alright, so let's go back to James now. So now when you hear the word of God, when you have the impression that you want to express it. If you feel like praying, pray. If the Spirit putting you to pray, pray. If the Spirit of God putting you to give, give. If the Spirit of God putting you to worship, worship. See? Simple. Alright? So, yeah, verse 23 onwards. Verse 22, it said that be hearer of the word and not, I mean, be doers of the word and not hearer only. Deceiving yourself. You see, if you hear the word and you don't do anything, you're deceiving yourself. I'm a Christian, but I don't go to that communion. I don't believe in communion. I don't believe in food washing. What is that? That's not right. You see. And if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. When he behold himself and he goes his way, still will forget what manner of man he was. That is very true. You see, at home, many of the time I don't wear my glasses. When I'm sitting at a table doing my computer work, sometimes I don't even use my glasses. And sometimes I get so comfortable that many times I went out the house to go to the mall. When I take the elevator down and I walk, I was so comfortable I didn't notice that I was not seeing anything. I mean, it's blur, huh? Because so comfortable, I thought I was looking okay. Then I realized the words are not there. I couldn't see the block number, I couldn't see the road, you know, the sign, you know. I said, oh, the glasses are not there. Now, if I were to look into the mirror before I leave the house, I probably would notice that I don't have a glasses on. Now, if I notice that I don't have a glasses on and then I just walk off, then it'd be just what the Bible said. I just ignore it. I forget what kind of person I am. You know. Or even if you get up in the morning, your face is dirty, what do you do? Definitely you clean yourself up. You don't want to go out with your face all unkempt, dirty. You see? Alright. And here in verse 25, whosoever look into the perfect law of liberty, the word perfect law of liberty. Like the song over in what's the play where we say the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. What book is that from? Is it from a book of Psalm or Job? Psalm. Okay. The law of God is perfect, converting the soul. Perfect here means the law is complete. You see, whatever he says, it does its work. You understand? You see? So, the same thing here. When you look into the perfect law of liberty, when you look into the Word of God, and you continue, you know, the way you behave, it says here, whosoever look into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. So when you look into the Word of God, and what word God said you do, and that's why I think it's important. Water baptism, Jesus said, we do it. Repent first, go to water baptism. We do it. We follow it. So we are blessed. But if you deny it, you don't say, I need it, then what are you? You're taking away the word of God in the first place. You're not even, you forgot what kind of man you are. You said you are a believer, and when the word said so, you said it's not important. Something is very wrong. Okay? Now, let us go to the last two verses. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridle not his tongue and deceive his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and are defiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep them himself unspotted from the world. Okay, he says, if any man among you, not if any man outside, among you, James is still talking to the believers. If any man among you seem to be religious, what is being religious? Well, you know the word religious comes from the word religion. You're being religious, you are following a certain faith, a certain set of laws and rules, and your belief in God, and so on and so forth. Alright, so if you are such a one, you do not bridle your tongue. Bridle your tongue. Bridle is a good word. You know what a bridle is? A horse bridle. How do you control a horse? A man who sits on a horse must have that rein in his hand, which is connected to the bridle in the mouth of the horse. So when you pull your rein to the left, the horse head will turn to the left and he will go forward, left. If you pull it to the right, he will go right. So there is the bridle. It controls the movement of the animal that you are riding on. So you see, if any man among us, you, Christian, we are religious. Yeah, I said we believe in this, we believe in that, and all so and so. But we don't bridle our tongue, means we don't control our tongue, then we'll deceive ourselves. What is this here? It's not talking about gossip. It's not talking about gossip. Brother, know your tongue is. You do not, you have careless talk. Now, what is careless talk? It's not talking about gossip, as I say again. Okay? Simple this. excuse me. There are a lot of Christians. They talk a lot about the Bible, about God, and this and that. But they just talk. And there is no truth in it. It's a lot of callous talkers. You understand? Oh, yeah, I believe in God, you know, this and that. But the earth is only 6,000 years ago. The dinosaurs were there in the ark, and then, water baptism is not important. And you know what I mean? They talk like this. Your brother know your tongue to what you're talking. And we find this not only in denomination, but in the end time message. They say, Brother Bram said, oh, you know, God sent us Malachi 4, 5, and 6, Malachi, and you don't know what you are saying. You do not bridle your tongue because you're just a wild animal. You need to know what you are saying. You see, if a man who rides a horse, if he's not in control of the rein, the horse can go anywhere he wants to. Like he has no bridle in his mouth. Unless you know how to ride a horse and hold the mane and shift him to the left. So, many times we, Christians, he says among you, then your religion is vain. You deceive your own heart, your own self. Galatians 2. Let's look at Galatians chapter 2. Here we have this example. Maybe this good example. Galatians chapter 2. Now, as I said, this is not about gossip. It's about facts. It's about truth. The Bible says about speaking the truth in love. Here in Galatians chapter 2, if you read it all the way, we are not going to read it. But in verse 11 onward, you know what happened. Paul was upset with Peter. Remember? Remember he was upset with Peter? Because Peter was playing the hypocrite. Huh? Peter was the big guy, the big apostle, who preached on the day of Pentecost. Who was Paul? He was not even one of the 12. He was a man born out of due season. He was a younger man than Peter. But he would not hesitate to rebuke young Peter in the face in front of the elders. And wrote it in this book called Galatians. And sent it out, the letter to Galatians, and told him to read it. And he even read in several other places. He was telling the Christian all the churches that he visited. All the letter that I sent to one church, let it be read in other churches. And the letter I sent to other churches be read in your church. So was Paul gossiping? No. We're not talking about this issue, things like that. You see, when the truth, when the thing is wrong, it has to be spoken against. Peter was just doing what he wanted. He think, oh, yeah, you know, he was a Jew. You know, he doesn't want to eat with the Gentiles. But he knows the Gentile was not wrong. So he said that, well, the big guys from Jerusalem was not around. He was eat with the Gentiles. But when he see somebody from Jerusalem church coming, he was pulled away from the Gentiles. And even Barnabas was even, you know, moved by his behavior, because after all, Barnabas was a young guy, and here was Peter. Hey, big boss, do this, I better follow him. You know? If Peter do that, Barnabas get confused. And Paul said, what are you doing? You see, the thing is this. Paul was not gossiping, bringing it out to the other churches. No. He was saying, this thing cannot be. We don't play this kind of thing. But when the Bible talks about brother know your tongue, it's talking about careless talks. You understand? Let me tell you something. Don't let anybody else know, huh? Jesus is coming tomorrow night. But you don't sleep. You know, people talk like this. I might be exaggerating. That's what people talk like this. Do you know something? Somebody told me that Richard Gowan is the aid messenger. He claimed that he's the aid messenger. And oh, he's one of the thunders. What rubbish is this? You are spreading these lies to the people. You're not burning your tongue. Your religion is vain. Because you're not telling the truth. Because you are spreading lies. Religion, whatever you have, faith, it must be true. If you say God is one, next moment you say God is three, something is wrong with your faith. Careless talk. You don't even know what you're talking about. Huh? Nasty talk about people. That's not true. You deceive your own self. Okay. Let's continue. He says, your religion is vain. Verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Oh, that's what is interesting. Pure religion and undefiled before God. And yet here James added, and the Father. And here you see we identify it's our relation with God, not just as God, but our relationship with God as Father to us. You know. Now maybe I give an advice to Brother Yifan. I know I noticed many times when he prayed, he says, oh God, oh God, oh God, right? Address God, not as God. Because God has a relationship with you. Address God as my Lord, oh Lord, oh Heavenly Father. You got it? Because you see, there is a relationship. Because God is, when you say God, God, there's no relationship. It's just God. God, I'm God. Yeah, I'm God. No, God will say, I'm God. Yeah, I'm God. So what is my relationship with you? You see? Now, do you know that in the world today, there are many fathers. In the morning you get up, children call their father, right? Joshua, what do you call your father? What do you call your father? Do you call him dad or do you call him papa? Yeah. You don't call him father, father, father. You know, no, I don't believe children call father, 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 father. You don't always call dad, papa. I think because it's very personal relationship. You know what I'm saying? Huh? It's true. Because when we go out in the morning, we are Chinese, we go to the father, say, apa? Atiye. Oh, you know what I mean? Right? Ama. But we don't go to our mother and say, Abu. You don't say that right now. Huh? You see, so the word has a relationship with. So Jesus said, when he was up, he said, taught us, teach us how to pray. Jesus said, it's how you pray. Our Heavenly Father. So our means, if you're talking about as a group. But when yourself says, you go, say, Heavenly Father, my Lord. Right? You address it more personal, not just the word God, which is very, it's just a title. God is just a title. A very, sometimes very impersonal title. But he said, oh my Father, my Heavenly Father, my Lord and my God. So it becomes more personal. So when he said pure religion is this, undefiled before God and the Father. So you see, Jim wants you to know that it's not just God, impersonal, but a Father to you that is personal. Of course, you don't say Heavenly Dad. You don't call a Heavenly Father in heaven Dad. You know what I mean? That is a local earthly name relationship to your own personal Father. Okay? To visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So, yeah, we do whatever we can. Normally, good religion teaches us all to do good, no doubt about it. Only all those crazy fanatic cult, they will do all kinds of things, huh? That we read about in the news, whether it be extreme Islam religion or the extreme Christian cultic group like Jim Jones and David Koresh out there, huh, who kill their own people. Okay, let us go to Jeremiah 7, 23 to 24. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I'll be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk you in the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walk in the counsel and the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. This is what happened in the days of Jeremiah to the nation of Israel. So the thing right now is this. What think you of God, of His word? Is it a gift to you? How important is His word to you? What think you of yourself in relationship to your Father? If you have a relationship, if you think that you are a child of God, you have that relationship with the Father, then how important is this word to you? Right? Because as it says here in the last part of James, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. If God is, and our Father in heaven is real, we want to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. 1 John 2:16. And close with one other verse. 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So what if the Bible said that you keep yourself unspotted from the world? Everything that is in the world is not of God. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. It belongs all to this world in the hands of Satan. Remember that? Huh? So, pure religion undefiled before God and Father is this: to visit the fatherless, the widow in the affliction, to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now closing, go to 119 of Psalms, verse 9. 119 of Psalms, verse 9. Wherefore shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Amen. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? What did he say? We're talking about a young man. So we old men don't say it's not for us, huh, Brother Henry? If the young man wants to learn, because you see, we are grown old. Young man has a long way to go, long journey to travel. So how do you cleanse away? By taking heed thereto according to God's word. So that is how you keep yourself undefiled from the things of the world. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord Jesus. Wise word of James, Father, written for our mission, for our walk with you. Truly, Lord, all of this written down would not be in vain for your children. For they that love you, Father, who call you Abba, Father, and have the special relationship with you, and having surely, Lord, the pure religion of our blessed Lord in heaven, who have come down, Lord, down to heaven, from heaven to give himself as a propitiation for our sins, to give us that Zoe life, that eternal life, that precious life of his, that we may be reconciled back to you, Father, that we may recognize who we are. And so we are thankful, Father, for this precious word of yours, Lord. So let us, therefore, Father, within our heart, the thing that we desire to do, be swift to hear, Lord, slow to speak and slow to wrath, and not only just hearer of the word, but doers of it. So surely, Father, we are blessed people. We know that you are there to help us whenever we have need of you, Lord. When we are down and out, your Spirit tells us to pray, we pray, Father. And when we are down and out, sometimes you ask us to sing, we will sing, Father. Give us the joy, whatever, Lord, that we need at that moment of time. When it seems that the pressure comes down upon us, Lord, and we feel tired, we feel weary, whatever we may be feeling, let your Spirit, O Lord, just come and bless us. So we thank you, Father, today, asking for your blessing again in Jesus' name. Amen.